So in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, well said. So in the beginning of Shmos, we know that, of course, after we get the background of how terrible things have turned for the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, so we know, of course, that the Parsha shifts, and towards the end of the Parsha, leading to, you know, the music starts getting exciting, and we have the beginning of the Geula, the beginning of the salvation. And of course, the pivot in order to enable the Geula is drafting Moshe into the leading man role to be the Moshiach of Klal Yisrael. So the Torah tells us in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yitzet, Yomer Hashem al Moshe b'Midyan, right? Moshe's already fled to Midyan. Lech shuv Mitzrayim, go back to Mitzrayim. Why? Ki meisu kol ha'anashim ha'mevakshim et nafshecha. Because remember when you got into that trouble? Well, all those people who originally were trying to kill you, so they've all since died. So there's a famous comment, amazing comment of the Meshech Chachma on that pasuk. The Meshech Chachma says, why does the Torah have to Perek Dalet pasuk Yutet? So the Meshech Chachma says, why does the Torah have to tell us that, or why did Hashem have to tell Moshe, let's say it that way, that those people, those few people, whoever they were, Dustin and Avira, whoever, who were whoever it was that we're not really sure, who were really upset at Moshe, he killed the Mitzri, Dustin and Avira told on him. So why do we have to know that they already died? It seems like if they would have been alive, that would have changed something. What do you mean? So yeah, it's tough to go back into a bad neighborhood when you know somebody's out for you. But the whole Jewish people are and need to be saved. Plus, anyway, Hashem is going to ask Moshe to do all sorts of things which are a little bit risky. You know, walking into Paro's, you know, palace and say, "Yo, let my people go." You know, and who are you again? Like, that's not an easy thing to do either. So, it seems a little bit peculiar. So, Meshech Chachma says, in fact, maybe it's peculiar, but it's there, it's deliberate, it's coming to teach us something. Coming to teach us an amazing chiddush, that ain't hachinami. Would those people have been alive, Moshe would have been putter. He could have excused himself from going down to Egypt. Because a person, says Meshech Chachma, does not have to put himself in sakana to save someone else. Even perhaps it seems to save the entire Jewish people. Their lives are hanging in the balance. You can argue that at least at the moment it seemed from Moshe's perspective, the way it was being presented to him, that he was the only one who could have saved them. And even though he would have been doing it for that purpose, if he would have felt that his life was at risk objectively, he would have been putter from going. An amazing chiddush of the Meshech Chachma. As it happens, he develops this and he repeats it and further develops it in the Or Sameach and Hilchos Rotzeach, which I hope to get to towards the end of the shiur. But using that as a springboard, so I wanted to speak about this broader topic, which actually has some practical ramifications. Even if Hashem doesn't ask you to go save the Jewish people in Egypt, it still may be practical. But really, there's two very basic questions we have to ask ourselves. Which is, number one, what obligation ever do we have to save other people? And to what extent, if we have an obligation, how do we balance that when it puts our own life at risk? That's number one. And number two is, even if you'll say that to some extent we have an obligation even to endanger ourselves, what about, or if we'll say, I think about the opposite, maybe we are certain exemptions, maybe we're not obligated to endanger ourselves, to what extent would it matter who we're saving or how many people we're saving? Would it matter if it's a plain Jane or the Gadol Hador? Would it matter if it's one person or an entire community? Would it matter if it's the entire Jewish people? Right? What if you are Jack Bauer? Right? And there's that nuclear bomb and... Okay, for the really firm guys here, you're Ellie Cohn, right? Ellie Cohn, you know, was an Israeli spy who went in Syria. He was there to save, he was there trying to save the whole Jewish people. So, but he was obviously putting himself at tremendous risk. Is a person obligated to do that? Or not? So let's talk about those issues. And I'll give you even one more practical issue just to mention briefly that comes up from this, really common. What about organ donation? What if somebody is in kidney failure and you're a match? You can give them a kidney. You have two. There's no question that the surgery itself is dangerous. All things being equal, it's certainly healthier or safer to have two kidneys than one. Are you obligated? Are you obligated? There's all sorts of different transplant things that maybe you have to do to put yourself in danger. So these are practical shaylos. Again, even if you're not the next Moshe Rabbeinu. So the basis of this is the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin.
Are you allowed to do it?
Also,
are you in class?
All three possibilities. Mutter, Osir, Mitzvah. Exactly. So the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin Adaf Ayin Gimel says if you see someone drowning, and they're calling out, save me, save me, you have a life jacket. You have one of those, you know, round things. You're chayiv, you know, stop your boat and try to save the person. You can't just, you know, keep on going. Based on the pasuk, says the Gemara, of Osamot al Dam Reyecha, plus we have a concept of Hashemosolo, you have to return somebody's lost object, which is a mitzvah daraisa. Kol Shekein, you have to help return their life. Says the Gemara, you can't just, you know, be in your own world. A Jew has to care about his fellow Jew, and you have to get involved and save the person. Shachar Aruch passing this way at the end of Koshen Mishpat, Simin Tuf Mem Vav, and gives all sorts of other examples beyond drowning, but a similar or approximate danger to the person. That is one example. And the pashtus is that those cases are talking about where there's no danger to you. Maybe there's an inconvenience. Maybe we could discuss if there's a financial issue. But we're not yet talking about jumping into the water, running up the World Trade Center instead of down. We're talking about throwing them a life jacket, calling the police, giving them some water if someone's thirsty or drowning or whatever the case may be. Chiyuv mitzvah d'oraisa osama adam riyad. To go to another extreme, what if it's not totally neutral or safe for you, but on the other extreme, what if it's either you or him? You have something that can save another person's life. If you don't give it to them, they will die. But if you do give it to them, you will likely die.
The cup in the
so this is a famous Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Bet, and quotes a Machlokas Tanoim, the famous Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Keturah. Keturah assumes that there's a chiyuv, Osama Darecha, how could you just stand there and let this person die? Aye, but if I split the bottle with him, we'll both die? Hinechanami, that's what you have to do, says Ben Keturah. You can't just sit there and let someone else die when you have something you can give him. Rabbi Akiva comes along and has the famous chiddush, and it says, the pasuk says, v'chei achicha imach. You have an opportunity, obligation to help make sure your achicha, your brother, lives with you. That assumes that you're going to live. But if it's going to come at your own expense, says Rabbi Akiva, chayecha kodmi. Halavah, you should never have to choose, but if you have to choose, says Rabbi Akiva, chayecha kodmi. That's not clear from the Gemara. Getting back to what you have, is that a heter or an iser? Am I allowed to give him the bottle and just allow myself to die? Or am I usser? Maybe it's not even allowed. That's not 100% clear at all in the Gemara. Nevertheless, minimally at least, it's a patur. In other words, it's a break, it's a limit on lo samar adam reyach. Lo samar adam reyach, because I have to do all sorts of things to save a person. Ad kan, says Rabbi Akiva, but not, you don't have to go that far. You're not chayiv to go to a place where it will cause you to actually give up your life. What if I want to? I'm not chayiv, do I want to? And is that, am I even allowed? Pashtus, this would be related to a machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. Rambam and Tosfos discuss, not exactly this case, they discuss a case of religious persecution. So we know that if the guy says to you, violate one of the big three, you have to give up your life. But let's say the guy says, be mechal Shabbos, eat on your kippur, something like that. It says, so the halach is, so Gemara, also Sanhedrin, ya'avor ba'al yahare. You can do it. Eat on your kippur, don't die. B'chai behem, lo yeshivas v'chai. What if I want to volunteer to die? Yom kippur is so kadosh, I don't want to give up, I'm not willing to eat, I'd rather give up my life than eat on Yom kippur. It says, the tour says, Tosfos, a person is allowed to do that. It's a midas chasidus. Says the Rambam, just the opposite. A person is mishayev not basically like the Aveira of committing suicide. You get no plaudits, no covet from the Rambam, you just get criticism. It's terrible. It's usher, basically, says the Rambam. So the L'cha'ora would be the same thing here with Rabbi Akiva and Petura. Tosus would hold Rabbi Akiva is just giving you a Petura. You don't have to give up your life. But if you want to volunteer, Mestama, he would allow it. But the Rambam would hold, it would even be usher. No, not allowed. So far we've seen the two extremes. The two extremes are important, but usually they're not as interesting as the cases in the middle. One extreme is where there's no risk at all to you. The other extreme is where you're going to die if you try to save the person. What about in the middle? What about where it's not a vadai that you're going to die, but it is a risk? It's not purely throwing the life jacket. It's jumping in. Unfortunately, Nebuch, virtually every summer, you'll hear at least one story. Not about somebody drowning, because that, unfortunately, you hear more than one story. The kids are swimming in a lake, kids are swimming in the ocean, adults, kids, swept away by the tide, got a cramp. Unfortunately, in a swimming pool, you hear about this more than once, unfortunately, every summer. But it seems like almost every summer, at least once, Nebuch, you hear a story of someone who tried to save someone who was drowning, and the matzil, the one who came to be, if you give the expression, the Good Samaritan, ends up dying. Often, even though he was successful at saving the person he tried to save, but it cost him his own life. I remember when I was a kid, there was actually a football player, I don't remember his name or what team he was on, but he was an NFL player, it was in the offseason, and he was in, wherever he was, Louisiana, Arkansas, I forget where he was from, and he was walking by, and there was like this creek, and some little kid must have been playing in it, and somehow was drowning. I don't know how deep the creek was, it wasn't an ocean, but still, the mice of the kid was saved, and he died. And it seems like every summer, Nebuch, you hear these kind of stories. So even if that's not necessarily going to happen, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot more stories of people who are able to successfully just save a person without themselves losing their life. But there's no question, it's just unquestionable. You jump into a body of water to save someone who's drowning, you are putting your own life at risk. There's no question. And one could probably imagine other kahena v'kahena, other examples where a person is in risk, mamish in danger of their life. You could save them. But to save them, you'd be taking at least some risk. So that's in the middle of the two cases we've seen until now. The question is whether, in fact, there's a mitzvah, a chiyuv, an iser, a reshus. What's the halacha in those cases? So one possibility would be to distinguish between the type of danger. After all, the Rambam tells us, if you take a look in Perek Yedal, Rambam gives you a whole list of things. In general, there's a prohibition against endangering yourself or doing things that would endanger other people or yourself. I mean, you know, like having pit bulls and snakes as pets and things like, things which are, in whatever culture or context you find them, things which are objectively dangerous. You have like a gaping hole, pit, that's 20 feet deep, in the middle of your house, you probably should cover it. A little chidushim like this you might have thought on your own until the Rambam told you. So what about the fulfill a mitzvah? What if can I compromise those things? So the Tiferes Yisrael, one of the commentaries on the Mishnah, the Tiferes Yisrael in Brachos in Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel. So he says maybe it depends on whether it's shchiyah hazeka or not. Maybe it depends on how common, how likely it is the danger. Again, it's hard to know what's the percentage that counts as common or likely. And even then, so he says, only if it's uncommon. But to put yourself in a dangerous situation where it's commonly life-threatening, he says you don't have to. But maybe he's not the only... It's really hard to know how to define that. It's hard to know. So perhaps where this Shaila gets really... implanted, if you want a little basis of the sugya, actually comes from a discussion of Rabbi Yosef Karo. At the end, his last comments in the Beis Yosef, right? The Rabbi Yosef Karo, three svarim, commentary on the tour, commentary on the Rambam, and then his own sefer, the Shulchan Aruch, and his Kitzer sefer. So in the Beis Yosef, which he actually imagined would be his magnum opus, you never know what's going to be in history. Sometimes we think we'll do something really important, and then there's this other thing we're going to do on the side. But sometimes the impact, when other people look at us, they actually think that the other thing was more important. So there's two examples I like to quote. One is, more recently, was Ramosha Feinstein. he writes, I think, or I heard the story, that his commentary on Shas, the Dibros Moshe, which at least I remember when I was raised, I had that in the Shalvim library. I remember seeing it in the library, where Katzav used to be a Ram in my day in Shalvim. I remember I used to use that sefer. It's a very, very deep, brilliant shirm of Rav Moshe on Mesechus. And then there is Tshuva's Dibros Moshe. And I heard that later in his life, he like couldn't understand how come like the Tshuva's became so famous, and he thought the Chedushim HaShas, like that, he really was proud of that. But a much more famous example of that is the Rebbe of Karo. He put this enormous, I mean imagine, you know, without Bar Ilan, this enormous, enormous intellectual energy into writing this unbelievable commentary on the Torah. It's basically the entire corpus of Jewish law, all Dal Kalkei Torah, in that time it was called. But he gave you all the Gemaras and all the Rishonim. I mean, it was just an encyclopedic work. And then he wrote like the cliff notes that, you know, called the Shulchan Aruch. The average person is not a really yeshiva bachar, never even heard of the Beis Yosef, doesn't even use it. And the Shulchan Aruch has the most household name in all of Judaism. It's like a definition. Are we already a Shulchan Aruch Jew? It's like larger than life, that word. So you never know what's going to happen. So the distinction between those two books is actually relevant to our sugya. Why? Because in the Beis Yosef, at the end, Mamash, his last comments, like the last paragraph, at the end of Choshen Mishpat, so he quotes a comment of the Hagos Maimonios, based on the Yerushalmi in Trumos, Perches, who paskins that a person is chayiv to put themselves even at, not badai, but real risk for their life, if it means saving someone who's at greater risk. And if you have a more of a mute sakana, but a real one, but a person's at a greater sakana, you have a chiyuv to do what you can, if you can, if it's biyadecha, to do something to save that person. The raya from the Yerushalmi is a story, actually, about a certain Amora who was trapped, and even though other people gave up on him and they wouldn't want to save him because they were worried if they get caught. Maybe you've read stories like this. This is like classic, like at the time of the Nazis and other times. Right? If you caught hiding someone and protecting someone, not only would kill them, they'll kill you. The Gemara says that, I think it was Reish Lakish, if I'm not mistaken, that he was willing to save this person even though it was risking his own life. Now, Gaius Maimonides quotes this, and the Beis Yosef in the Kesef Mishnah, same author, quotes this, Gaius Maimonides, you see, you chayv even to give up your, to risk, excuse me, you chayv to risk your life to save another's. In Rav Shechler's Sefer Nefesh HaRav, page 166, he quotes that Rav Chaim Paskin this way. Rav Chaim, I can't remember which particular medical epidemic, but it was in one of these really dangerous diseases were going around Europe. The shaila was whether the people who could help, whether they were doctors or other ways to help, these people who were sick, and if they didn't help them, the mamash, they're for sure going to die. On the other hand, the medical professionals, the people who are being the top of these cholim, for themselves risking catching the disease. And Reb Chaim held, again, I don't know all the medical information then, and again, if it would be a vadai, maybe it wouldn't be that you'd get killed. But that you have to put yourself at some level of risk in order to save someone who's vadai already at risk, Reb Chaim apparently passed in that way. This became relevant a number of years ago, whatever it was now, 20 years, in the 80s or 30, whatever it was, that AIDS became an epidemic. There was a big issue in general, and including in post-skim, whether a doctor or somebody who's a healthcare professional is chayav to treat someone, especially in the early days where they didn't really know about the precautions, and it was really a panic that if you were dealing with anyone with AIDS, you would catch the disease. And in those days, it was mamish deadly. This is before Magic Johnson lived for 25 years, and seems to be healthier now than he was before he got the disease. So Baruch Hashem, they've made medical advances. But in those days, there are tshuvas, there are discussions in post-skim. If you go back 25, 30 years ago, whenever exactly the dates of the beginning of the AIDS epidemic, the post-skim discussed medical health professionals. And again, it's all based on this literature. And based on the Kesef Mishnah and the Sreb Chaim, are those who say you have to put your life at risk. So you have to jump. So jumping into the river is not vadai sakha. You're definitely going to die if you jump in. So it sounds like from the Kesef Mishnah, you would have to. It's like a time that you have to treat these cholim. However, one of the commentaries in Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, the commentary known as the Sma, Samach Mem Ayin, the Sefer Iris Einayim. The Sma, there in Tuf Mem Vav, says it's all fine and good, but one little problem. Lamaisa, even though Rav Yosef Karo thought that the other books were his magnum opus, we hold off his cliff notes. Bottom line is Shulchan Aruch. And even though Yosef Karo seems like, quote, paskin this way in Beis Yosef, somehow Yosef Karo omits this from the Shulchan Aruch. It's also not in the Rambam, it's not in the Rif. It's a Yerushalmi, it's a Gos Memunios. But the real Amude Ha'orah, the real poskim, they don't quote it. So it's in the Beis Yosef, it's good to know. You know, you're writing a term paper, you're giving a Chabur on a Friday, it's good to know about these things. But it doesn't mean paskin this way, says the Sma. The Radvaz, in Chelek Gimel of his Tshuvas, has a very famous tshuva. He was asked the following shaila. It sounds horrific and barbaric. It's both. But as recently as in the Holocaust, it was actually repeated and practical. When they go to one Jew and say, we're going to kill another Jew unless you allow us to cut off your hand. We're going to maim you in an obviously very graphic, painful way, or we'll kill your friend. Your choice. What do you do? So the Radvaz writes that under no circumstances is a person chayev, or perhaps even should be allowed, to allow himself to be maimed.
What?
He's not chayev. And he says any person who does that is a chassid shota, is a fool. So the truth is, he gives one reason which is poetic and inspirational, but very debatable. He says, Darchei Darchei Noam. It's like, would be like a sick, cruel thing for the Torah to require somebody to do something that much. So I always thought that was very inspirational and very hashkafically powerful. But then, I was just listening on the way here. I only got to the first 25 minutes. There was no traffic. That's why I'm on time, but I didn't get to hear the whole shiur. I was listening to a shiur from Usher Weiss, which I had never heard before when I was preparing this year, but I figured later this afternoon I found it online, so I downloaded it. So when he mentioned this Radvaz, he thought that you could argue just the opposite. The Derecher Derechei Noam would say, how could you let another Jew die if it's only going to cost you your arm or something? To let a Jew die? Halacha should allow you to... That would be disgusting. Derecher Derechei Noam. Have Rachmanis on another Jew. So, the point is not whether Rav Asher Weiss is right. The point is that it's debatable, or you could see it from different perspectives. So he didn't like that one so much. But the truth is, the Radvaz seems to say something which is also very relevant, and more relevant to us, is that any time, probably even now, but especially when the Radvaz was writing 500 years ago, something like that, such an act of maiming a person, like cutting off the arm, that was not only a sakanas aver, it wasn't just you were going to lose your limb. That's threatening your whole life. They didn't exactly have sanitary surgical conditions. They didn't know what to do about bacteria. It wasn't until relatively modern history that surgery became a relatively safe thing. For much of history, people died as much, to some extent, from what the doctors were trying to help them to do than from the disease itself. You have to think, Louis Pasteur and other Shluchei Rachmano who came up with all sorts of scientific discoveries, which have allowed us to live in a much healthier way than they ever were in all of human history. But in the time of the Radvaz, they're going to cut off your arm, the likelihood is you're going to bleed to death. Not that you're going to lose your arm and how terrible that is. You'll die! You'll get an infection! So, it sounds like, it's not for sure though, I'm sure they had amputations in those days. Now we know also the pictures of the guy with the wooden leg. Pirates, you know, they made a living out of it. They became famous for their wooden legs. So it's not a Vadai Sakana. And yet the Radvaz says, like the Sma, you're not chayiv, and perhaps it may even be usur to put yourself besafek sakana, even if it means as a result someone will die, will be killed. In the Shulchan Aruch Harav, in his Hilchos Niske Haguf, so he quotes two deos, he quotes both deos, and he says safek lahakel, meaning you don't have to do it. He does quote both deos, but it seems like he leans towards also that you don't have to do it. Mishnah Brura, Simon Shin Chav Tes, Sivkat and Yud Tes, also seems to accept such a position. And the Aruch HaShulchan, in Choshe Mishpat, at the end of Choshe Mishpat, Tav Mem Vav, also passes this way. He just adds, that you shouldn't be overly conservative, or overly paranoid, I guess maybe it's a better way, when you're assessing your own risk. You know, certain people, a guy when I was a kid, it was a girl in my neighborhood, friends of our family, and nice people, but they had this like paranoia about like anything related to their kids. So for a while, she wasn't even allowed to cross the street. You know, and she didn't live like on Broadway or some major street. She lived like a nice little suburban street. And she went like she needed her parents even when she was like 12 years old and went to cross the street. You know, in Israel, if like you're two, you know, you crawl across the street. And then you stare down the cabbie and say, don't even try it. Make my day. You know, but so that's an example. Like, so a person would say, well, you see, I can't, someone's dying across the street, but I can't let my daughter go and bring the person medicine because, you know, she could get hit by a car. He says, Dr. Shulchan, you can't be neurotic, you can't be paranoid when you make your assessment of the satana. And if anything, he says, have a little amuna, you're doing such a big mitzvah, and you can take some risks you might not have otherwise taken. But, Mikra Adin, it seems like the Rosh Hashanah also would agree. Bottom line, without getting into all the tshuvas about the kidney transplants and other things, it seems to be, as far as I'm aware, the consensus of the poskim is to take kind of this latter approach, which is to say, that for the most part, I don't believe that we poskim that a person is chayiv. We do not poskim that way. In fact, on this shir that I was listening to right as I was pulling into Shalvim, Rav Asher Weiss was mentioning a tshuva that he wrote on the topic, which I've never seen, but he mentioned how he felt that it's like usur to put what he called lachatz kavratit. We shouldn't be pressuring the person that they should feel almost like it's an onus that they have to donate the kidney or do whatever it is. Because they're not chayiv, we possibly are not chayiv to put yourself in sakana. Against the Kesef Mishnah, against the Gaz Manios. It's not in Shulchan Aruch. You can't force a person to risk their life if something's not even in Shulchan Aruch. But, A, it can be encouraged. It's a huge mitzvah. And you have to always be evaluating and reevaluating the mitzvahs. When kidney transplants were first, I guess invented is the right word, or first started being done, so there was an assumption, perhaps even then it was not so accurate, I'm not sure, but certainly at the time, it was still very new, that it was very dangerous even for the donor. And if there were a poskim like Rav Avadi Yosef who held that you shouldn't be a donor because you're putting yourself at risk. But now, 20, 30 years later, the actual risk, if you just go to like insurance companies, you know, what difference of life insurance would they give you if you were a kidney donor and you weren't? It's almost nothing, statistically nothing. Baruch Hashem, Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, in today's day and age, things which, you know, 100 years ago or even 50 years ago would have been like science fiction. So now, this is like, I wouldn't call them outpatient procedures, but it's really Ma'aseh M'chol Yom. We're very, 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 very fortunate to live in such a time. So you have to reevaluate. Lav Dafka, that's considered such a risk. And I know poskim, if I remember correctly, I heard this from Rabbi Willig, another poskim, that, again, they wouldn't obligate a person to be a kidney donor, but would strongly, strongly encourage the person to do that. Not only because it's a Jewish mitzvah, because also in Mitzvahs, it's really not that much of a risk anymore. Kind of like an Aruch HaShulchan, so we shouldn't over-exaggerate the risk. Let's use the last 10 minutes of the shir to now take the final step, which is that Ad Kan, everything we saw from the Losam and Adam Riecha till here was one-on-one. What do I have to do? What am I not allowed to do? What may I do to save another person? A stranger, a loved one, a Jew, a non-Jew, a gadol hador, a simple person, We could slice the pie in any way, a number of ways. But we're talking about basically more or less one-on-one. The shaila now is what if it's not one-on-one, but it's to save a tzibur, to save a rabbin, to save the whole Jewish people. So here's where we have the Meshech Chachma we began with. The Meshech Chachma basically says that there's no distinction. Just like you're not chayiv to save one person, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have been chayiv to save the whole Jewish people if it meant putting himself into a sakana. And in fact, I mentioned that the Meir Simcha and the Or Sameach also, if you will, doubles down, he repeats it again, and he elaborates and he thinks he had a raya from a Rambam. What's the Rambam? The Mishnah Masechta Makos and Daf Yud Aleph, based on a pasuk, learns that the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, someone who killed by accident, who goes to the Ir HaMiklat, so we all know since we're little kids, that he has to stay in the Ir HaMiklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. So the Mishnah there learns that he has to stay in the Ir HaMiklat, period. Even if there's a big mitzvah that he could do outside the Ir HaMiklat, he's not allowed to go. And even if there's a big mitzvah that only he could do, he's not allowed to go. And then says the Mishnah, even if the whole Jewish people need him, ki Yoav ben Tsruya, better than Jack Bauer. He's Yoav ben Tsruya. the super general of the Jewish people. And the Jewish people need him. They're going to war. They need their general. And the general is, you know, the troops are ready. They need their leader. We need the brilliant military strategist. Crazy. Courageous warrior. And he's stuck in Mir Miklat. You know, can't you get a present for pardon or something? We need him. Says the Mishnah, no. Shum tehei his life and shum tehei tforosam. He has to die there. He can't go unless the Kohen Gadol dies. So the Rambam quotes this halacha in Hilchos Yosef, Perek Zayin, Halacha Ches. And the Rambam just adds a little phrase at the end. Rambam says, because if he'll go out of the Ir Miklat, then the Goel Adam will be able to kill him. That's not in the Mishnah. Now we know about that general then Goel Adam. But the Rambam adds that to here. Comes along the Or Sameach and says, why is the Rambam adding that? Why do I put that in the same halacha? What does the Reish have to do with the Sefer? Comes along the Or Sameach with the Chiddush, says the Rambam is giving you the Biur Hadvarim, the Tam, the reason. You know why Yav and Sruya, who are super soldier, who happens to be in the Ir Miklat, does not have to leave the Ir Miklat, even though the whole Jewish people in the army is waiting for him? Because if he would go out, boom! Before the enemy can get him, the Goel Adam will get him. And he doesn't have to risk his life. Forget on the battlefield, he doesn't have to risk his life with the Goel Adam, even to fulfill this great mitzvah of saving the Jewish people. It's a hesber for the Patur. That's why the Rambam adds it. And that's who I did, that's a proof, that's a halachic proof now. Not just a little vort, a little drush in Moshe Rabbeinu, Parsha Shmos. Here we have a diuk in a Rambam, which confirms our drush in Parsha Shmos. That you see, you don't have to go. These are the words of Rav Meir Simcha, both in Meshach Chochma and Yor Sameach. So there are two dechios, two different arguments that are made against this. A number of poskim write that they think that the Or Sameach misread the Rambam. No really comments about his story about with Moshe. It's a nice chumash here, you know, it's for the Parsha here. They're not going to be so scared about that one. But the Diuk and the Rambam and the Mishnah, that's already a halachic makor. So a number of poskim neutralized that, and they said that the Rambam is really being misread. Kli Chemda on Parshas Pinchas, which is a halachic work. The Hechel Yisrael with the Chuvus of Rav Herzog, first chief rabbi of Israel, Archaim Simon Lamates. The Sruti Eish has a tshuva in the Bar Ilan versions in Chelek Beis Simen Lama Dalid, which is like a tshuva that Rav Moshe Sternbach wrote about the topic. And you have a publish of Weinberg, the Sruti Eish's notes on Rav Sternbach. But they disagree about all sorts of things, but on this they agree with Rav Herzog and the Lechemda that the Or Sameach misread the Rambam. That the Rambam does not say because. Rambam does not say, look carefully at the Lashon. I forgot to write the exact Lashon in Hebrew in my notes. But the Rambam does not say he doesn't have to go out to be the general because they may kill him. The Rambam is teaching us a separate din, which is a chiddush, which that you might have thought that the din of Goel Hadam wouldn't apply then. But that wasn't that. That's why he's potter. The reason that it's not so much a patur, the reason he's not allowed to leave the Ir Miklat is its own din. It's exeris hakosim. The mission of their quotes apostle. It's exeris hakosim. You can't leave. Logically, it doesn't make any sense. Of course, the whole Jewish people need you. You should leave. Are you going to tell me if the whole Jewish people needed me, or you, or whoever, some really important person, to go out, we would allow the Goel Adam to kill you? It's crazy. That's not what the Rambam means. Lui Yitzuyer, that it was mutter to leave, of course it would be usher for the Goel Adam. It's like a free pass. You know, after the war, then we go back to normal. He can't leave the Ir Miklat. If he does, he's yours, Mr. Goel Adam. Would you let the Goel Adam kill the general who's on the way to save the Jewish people? The Rambam thinks yes, and because he could, therefore he doesn't have to leave the Ir Miklat. All these Achronim say, so they're saying, are you crazy? I mean, they didn't say that. How you talking? We would allow Goel Adam to kill somebody on his way to save the Jewish people? It'd be a mitzvah for him to leave, but then he could get killed? The Rambam seems to say, yeah. Or some says, and the Rambam meant, yeah. And therefore, don't risk your life, even to save all the Jews. But they say, that can't be what the Rambam meant, because it wouldn't make any sense. And if you look at the Rambam, he doesn't say ki, he doesn't say because. Two separate halachos. Number one. Number two is our son poskim, the Cheshek Shlomo, Shlomo Kalmi Vilna, is quoted by the Sur Yesh, who taco holds that anyway, the whole din is wrong. Whatever the rise are, but he actually holds against the Rambam. In such a case, maybe he would go out. So to build the whole thing based on this, it's hard to know if we read like that Rambam. And even if we read like that Rambam, it doesn't know that it means that the Rambam necessarily read it correctly. Lamai said those are the riots for or against. Bottom line, though, the Oras HaMeach is on the books. Mashiach is on the books. That's his shita. That's how he postulates. However, others disagree. So I mentioned the Kli Chemda. Kli Chemda is a sefer written on Chumash, halachic analysis of Chumash, by Meir Dan Plotsky. He was a Ger Chosid from Poland, who, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to get the history incorrect, you can ask from Hemler, because this is his wheelhouse. I believe he was killed in the Holocaust. I think maybe even in the Warsaw Ghetto, but certainly in the Holocaust. But so he's relatively recent. It was a great, great Gadol. And he and some other poskim, as I mentioned already, seem to disagree. And he holds, of course there's a chiyuv. He gives a raya from Pinchas. Pinchas was risking his own life. When Pinchas went to kill Zimri, you know, we don't exactly know, you know, we know that Zimri was doing what he shouldn't have done with that Midianite princess, which is what got Pinchas all upset. But Baruch Hashem, the Torah didn't paint such a graphic picture for us. We don't know exactly what Zimri was or wasn't wearing at the time. But maybe he had like one of those, you know, knives that like, you know, they keep like in their boots or something. But what if when Pinchas went, Zimri noticed at the last second and would have stabbed him? So many posts can point out, Zimri would have been mutter. Zimri's life was at risk. Zimri didn't have to let himself get killed because Pinchas paskin kanai pokebo. Zimri would have killed him. Or if the goal went down, maybe. And yet, Pinchas risked his life, and we always assume that Pinchas did the right thing. Because the whole Jewish people was dying from a plague. And by killing Zimri, he stopped the plague. So the Kli Chemda says, that's a raya for sure against. He says, and this is a kavachom and hagas, mamunios, in the Keset Mishnah. So you have to risk your life to save an individual. But Pinchas saved the Jewish, certainly, even if you don't hold like that. But that's not saving the Jewish people. So the one who perhaps goes furthest and writes a lot about this is Rav Kook. Rav Kook has a number of tshuvas in his Sefer Mishpat Kohen, Shut Mishpat Kohen, Simonim Kuf Mem Bet, Gimel and Dal, 142, 43, and 44. And in these tshuvas, Rav Kook has a long discussion about this Yochid, Stam Rabin, how big is a Rabin? That part's not so clear. One thing is for sure clear in Rav Kook's tshuvas, that if Klal Yisrael are in danger, then he says it's obvious, of course, you're chayiv to do whatever you can and to risk your life in order to save the Jewish people. Of course he thinks, Lamigar Missile, Harasha, like, we'll worry about the details, but like, obviously, you know, I'll write you a Shnickel Torah and give you the rise another time. But I don't need a proof to tell you what the answer is already. Of course, says Rav Kook, like the Chemda, and Rav Herzog says this, and the Shri Yesh, of course, Nor Sameach, I mean, it's a nice word on the Chumash, but how could you say such a thing? The whole Jewish people are going to be destroyed because you don't want to risk your life? Of course you have to. Of course you have to. They hold your mamash chayiv. And just to round it all out, there is a tshuva that sits Eliezer and a Shturmbach. I mentioned before that you can find Shturmbach's letter in the tshuva of Sri Yesh. So Shturmbach in the Sri Yesh in the take a middle position, which said that maybe it's just mutter. And that's just mutter, maybe it's laudatory. It's like a little step, a notch or two above, maybe 10 notches above, if it's just one person who's risk, you know, who's endangered. But they're not willing to go as far as Rav Kook and the others to say even chayiv. So on the extremes, you have the Or Sameach versus Rav Kook and the Kli Chemda and others. Perhaps you have this middle position even of the Tzitz Eliezer. I'll just end with one last thing, which is particularly poignant, which is what if it's Vaday death? Because even this is risking your life. Right? Pinchas risked his life. And Moshe Rabbeinu, theoretically, would have risked his life. What if it's jumping on the bomb? What if it's, you know, going into the nuclear reactor, you know, to shut it off or whatever, to do whatever you have to do in the James Bond movie? But, like, you're for sure going to die, but you'll save the whole world or whatever. Not just you're risking. It's a suicide mission. A suicide mission to save the Jewish people. This also seems to be discussed. And the Tzitz Eliezer in his Tshuvas in Chelek Yirches Siman Aleph quotes from a Yeshuas Yaakov who says that one is allowed. This is inachai, which you are allowed. Usually suicide is in Avera. He says, but a suicide mission to save the Jewish people, perhaps his mutter. Digros Moshe Feinstein also passes this way. Yerdeh Chelek Beis Siman Kufayim Dalet. And they have a raya. There's a Gemara in a number of places, in Tainus and in Pesachim and other places, about the Haruge Lud. And Rashi in Tainus on Daf Yud Chesam Abet tells us the story about a certain population that the Goyim were looking to persecute, and they were going to kill everybody. And one way or another, there was these two brothers, Papianus and Lilonus or something like that. I'm not sure I pronounced their names. They're not such big Yiddish names. But these were tzaddikim. And they volunteered, and they were killed instead, and everyone else was saved. And the Gemara is mashbiach, that haruge lud, ein yachal lamu bevechitzasam, it's like the highest level of kiddush Hashem, what they did, it's an unbelievable thing. So the poskim debate, these two brothers, were they included in the original danger or not? So Rav Moshe Feinstein learns, and the Tzitzel Ezer seem to learn, that they were not in the original sakana. Whatever the case was, they were able to get to substitute themselves for the population that was in sakana, and they were killed instead. And because of their death, they're volunteering to die, they saved everybody else. If that's correct, so Tzitzel Ezer and Rav Moshe, if a raya, no one, as far as I know, there's nobody who would say you're chayav to do such a thing. But you see that you're allowed to do such a thing. Maybe even it's a big mitzvah to do such a thing. Rav Sturmbach thinks that that's way, way, way too far, and he has a simple argument. He assumes that the two brothers were anyway in the population that would have died. So Mamarashach, they were going to die. Either they were going to die as part of a large group, or they were going to step forward and be the only two that died. That doesn't take away the mitzvah that they did. They still saved everybody else. But if you hold like Rav Sturmbach and others who agree with him, then that's not a raya that someone who's otherwise totally safe could jump on the grenade to save everybody else. However, in a case where, again, to take this, you know, Hollywood-type case, where, you know, some bad guy is about to unleash a nuclear bomb to blow up the whole world, so you live your life, that means you're part of the whole world. So a monoshot, either you're going to jump on the bomb or go into the reactor and save it and vadai die, or you'll be with everyone else in the world and vadai die. So could be that if that's the case, then even Rav Sturmbach would agree that you're allowed to go on the suicide mission. But let's assume that you're totally safe. You could be the guy who's just sitting in your cafe in Yerushalayim and going to Shumir Shalvim and living your good, nice, simple life. Or you could accept the Mossad's mission to be their man in Iran, you know, over the next year to bring down the Iran nuclear bomb. It's like a suicide mission. You know, you're not coming home. But, you know, you'll have a debt of the entire Jewish people. They're going to have a street after you in Tel Aviv one day. So there, I don't know anyone who says Yechayiv, but I think it says that there, both their Moshe would say it's Mutter, and it's arguable that other poskim might not. So just to summarize, because we saw a lot of, I think, really interesting things, we started off by talking about whether you are obligated to save a person when there's no risk to yourself, you're for sure Chayiv. Then we said, are you obligated to dvara give up your life to save another person? Does Rabbi Akiva, Chayef, and Kodman know? We spent a good amount of time on the middle case, which is the more common cases, where you're putting yourself at some risk, but not necessarily for sure going to die. Jumping into the river to save a person's life, to me, is like the best example. We saw Machlokes HaPoskim about that, and there's a Kesef Mishnah, and a Hagat Mamonis, and Yerushalmi, and a Chayim Brisk. But still, the consensus seems to be, no, you're not Chayiv. You're allowed, it's laudable, it's wonderful, but you're not Chayiv. Then we saw, finally, the question of whether all of that is equally transferable to when it's a Rabbim or a big Tzibur like the Jewish people. Some poskim say, yeah, of course, it's the same thing, you're not Chayiv then either. Another poskim, most passionately, Rav Kook, will say, Hayitachin, it's impossible, of course, to save the Jewish people, you're Chayiv to do anything that you can, even if it means risking your life. Whether it means Vada giving up your life, a suicide mission. So that seems to be a debate whether you're allowed, but I don't know if anyone would say that you're Chayiv. Okay? Have a good Shabbos. Have a good week.
I think a student named after you tell these making a report.